Next on the show, Old Molds, Denise Morris and Jan Hocken review the film Let the Fire Burn. It was done in memory of a black community cooperative housing and political cooperative who rejected police orders in a variety of ways. Their communal homes were bombed. Police decided they were going to drive them out. Actually bombed from the air by police helicopters, starting a fire that killed them all. This year is the 21st anniversary of the bombing in Philadelphia.
Thanks, Bill. Yes, Jason Auster's 2013 documentary film uses archival footage to detail a history of conflict between the city of Philadelphia and the Black Liberation Group, Back to Nature Group, MOVE. Let the Fire Burn begins with the early years of MOVE leading up to the 1978 clash with police that resulted in many injuries on all sides and the death of a police officer. 9 MOVE members were imprisoned for that murder. In 1981, MOVE members began to take up residence in Cobbs Creek Park in West Philadelphia. Complaining of health hazards, child abuse, and obscene broadcasts over a loudspeaker, the 95% black working class neighborhood would soon begin to involve city officials and police in a struggle to resolve conflicts with MOVE members. On Mother's Day, May 13, 1985, 30 years ago, Philadelphia police descended on the area with military force. After hours of shooting, tear gas, and use of water cannons failed to withdraw members from their home, the decision was made to drop military explosives on the rooftop of the row house. 5 children and 6 adults were killed. The film's title is taken from that day's events and the decision to, quote, let the fire burn following the dropping of the bomb. 61 homes in the 6200 block of Osage Avenue would be destroyed by the 6-alarm fire, one of the largest in the city's history. The archival footage captures events on the scene, covers public hearings from the special commission convened by Mayor Wilson Good, and the deposition of 13-year-old Michael Moses Ward, the only child to survive the attack, along with Ramona Africa. Jan, we found this film to be really quite good and compelling. It is all archival footage. There's no current interviews with members.
Or a narrator.
And it was a project. I think you know a little bit about the project. Came together as an academic project, and that might be why this footage, which had been withheld from the public for so long, was then released.
Because it does unfold as a lived verite style, you know, you feel close to the experience of participants, the protagonists, and it has an even-handedness. It doesn't feel like an advocacy film, so there's a kind of sad, tragic quality as much as angry outrage to it. But there are choices that filmmakers inevitably make. And I'm always interested as a filmmaker. What is the denouement and what is the conclusion? And of course, at the end of the film, there is text on the screen that no criminal indictments were filed by the grand jury, even though the commission concluded that the city and the police violated the civil rights of participants because all these people were killed and could not escape the building other than the child and the one woman, that their actions were unconscionable was a word, mm-hmm. that no criminal charges were filed. Police were thought to be responding out of what they thought was self-defense, a very similar and ongoing story we hear today. But at the very end, one of the commission members that was investigating the bombing summarizes the whole, what he calls, sordid story and says, the only motive hope, the only point of hope here I find is Officer Berghire, a white officer who did find that child outside and took him to safety, which you would not think would be such a heroic act. But he said that, Officer Berghire, I want to thank you for your heroism. And that officer was harassed by other officers for seeming to be touched and moved by the group and feeling some minimum level of compassion, humanity, and was diagnosed with PTSD and left the force as a result 2 years later. I thought, well, why is this a heroic act? And what about the trauma of that community? and the survivors. And right. It, to me, was also said something about who's diagnosed PTSD and who isn't, and how much the group itself could have been seen as they became more and more kind of manic and paranoid and aggressive in reaction to their own persecution and constant surveillance and assaults by the police.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't hear much about the neighbors, the people who lost their homes. Some of the images and footage of that aftermath is horrific. There's nothing left. It's shells with walls. But what you're getting at is even a film that's made of archival footage is still constructed. And it's broken down into multiple parts using quotes to kind of set up the next chapter that will be explored. And also there is a particular scene that stands out as we talk about how the film is put together and constructed, because you can use some archival footage and other archival footage to layer over something and tell a different story, which is the beating of Delbert Africa. I believe this was following the conflict in 78, was the police were being lauded for their restraint and their ability to control themselves and the situation, when in fact there was Delbert Africa being beaten to a pulp.
Citizen video footage.
Right.
We
were unclear about where that footage came from.
But it was clear that the police were brutalizing.
So there's a lot of material here. There's opportunities for layering over recorded discussions by police while they're watching the fire burn, saying, well, I can't say what they said because it's not allowed right now on radio. But, you know, they're basically saying, giving us an insight into their own consciousness about this. This ties in very closely to the fact that MOVE members were convicted of murdering a police officer when, in fact, forensics would have proven that the shooting happened from a direction that couldn't possibly have been a member of MOVE since they were all in a basement. There's a lot to dig up here, but nobody believed that the police had any intention of protecting the neighborhood and doing anything on the behalf of the 95% black neighborhood. They were doing this on behalf of a political grievance and the history of racism in power.
Which isn't part of the film. It seemed that the film was clearly sympathetic to MOVE members, and whatever their annoyance was to their neighbors, and they did have a history of really what in that time seemed like bizarre and aggressive, annoying behavior, but then the military force of the state coming down on them and declaring them a terrorist group and murdering them, basically. The sympathies were clearly with the community, but the relationship between MOVE over time and how it grew out of radical politics in Philadelphia as a center for political activism, a very rich history of militancy and neighborhood-based activism in Philadelphia, the period that preceded the bombing, where a lot of the liberation struggles around the world, armed struggle and resistance to the police had failed. A lot of the Black Power movement had been killed. So that history that partly could explain how they became themselves more like an armed camp and more increasingly alienating of their neighbors was not part of the film. I thought a sensibility in the film that this was a crazy group
right.
that was destroyed by the police, but more it did focus on their humanity rather than anything rational in the origin of their politics.
Right. And there's a lot of material to mine outside of the film to get that. And
that history.
There is a book that was published in 1987 by Margot Harry called Attention Move, This is America. She was an investigative journalist and published this book 2 years after the event. I read it about 25 years ago. I remember really, really liking it. It's very thorough. Folks could look at something like that. One segment in the film does focus on Frank Rizzo, who became mayor between 72 and 80, but he was police commissioner of Philadelphia between 1967 and 1971 and sort of ran on this platform of Philadelphia being in disarray and having all of these problems. He was going to come in and fix them.
Bringing unrest under control
right.
and the militarizing of the police.
Right.
That his police force could take over Cuba. was one right. of his lines. Yeah.
And he was also famously quoted as saying that there was too much democracy. So there's Frank Rizzo, followed by Wilson Good, who was Philadelphia's first black mayor, found himself in the middle of this fray.
And probably under pressure to show he could control
absolutely, yeah.
the black community, political aspects of the black community.
Right. Well, Jan, in our last couple of minutes, there's lots of points we can make. I mean, one thing we've talked about is, you know, what are the lessons here?
It's interesting in the film, as people were commenting on their vegetarianism, their chow rearing practices that they were known to demonstrate against around animal rights at the zoo, that mm-hmm. the zoos were like prisons, and people at the time, students coming out to interview them from the journalism program, thinking they were very bizarre. And another time in history, these become more mainstream and not so bizarre. Their vegetarianism was considered bizarre at the time.
They were composting. And in the interviews with Michael Moses Ward, and we should say that Michael Moses Ward was 13 years old then. He died in 2013 accidentally at the age of 41. And he was the lone surviving child from that time. And along with Ramona Africa, as I said at the beginning. But they ask him a lot of probing questions around this. You know, did you want to leave home? Did you ate
said,
raw
yes.
food?
They we wouldn't let watch us television. Watch television or play right. with toys of other children.
These are common practices now when white middle class people start engaging these things. And, you know, we hate that to always be the thing, but it kind of is like people live communally in urban areas now much more than at that time. So,
and there's also the point when people are under attack, groups or individuals, they can become more and more crazy and
yes.
alienate others. And there was that theme there.
Right. And the use of information to dispel misinformation and to undo the lie, you know, comes out in this exaggerated public speaking forum. So,
anyway. But it's very much we're seeing.
Absolutely. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
And that's Let the Fire Burn. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Denise.
For the old mole.